You take your Bibles and turn them to Matthew chapter 4, starting in verse 1. As we continue our journey through Satanology, study of Satan's, his tactics and all about him, so that we are not ignorant of his devices. We got to the point where we're looking at Christ in the desert. So starting in verse 1, it says, "Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, 'If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread.' But he answered and said, 'It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God.'" Let's pray. Father in heaven, we want to thank you for, again, another night where we could be in your house. Thank you as we continue on this journey. And Father, it's not been without some pushback from Satan as we've gone through this. But I pray, Father, that you would continue to guide us and direct us, that you would reveal the truths of your word to us, especially on this subject that we need to know about, so that we know how we can resist and we can fight back and not be tempted of the devil. And so we thank you for all that you're going to accomplish through this, looking forward to continuing through this and all that you have for us now, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So over in Luke also, and I'm not going to read each account, but in the Gospels, every account has a little different take on each of the Gospels, so wherever it's at. But in Luke chapter 4, it's also in the first four verses there. But there's 26 principles concerning temptation from the victory of Christ over the adversary. We're going to learn from the ultimate example how to face and overcome temptation. If you're going to need to know how to overcome temptation, then why not go to the Savior who overcame temptation? And I know a lot of people say, well, yeah, but he was God. So much easier for him, right? But people say different things too. Well, it's easier for you because you're the pastor. No, just another human being, right? I get tempted just like everybody else does, right? It's not easier for me just because, fill in the blank, right? It's not just easier for you because we're all tempted. Every one of us. God told us we would be. Jesus, when he was tempted, he showed us the example of how to resist the devil. How we can, when we're being tempted, to say no. We have that way of escape. So the first temptation was to turn stones into bread. Now, no one is immune from temptation. That's principle number one. No one is immune from temptation. Some people, well, you know, they're not being tempted like I am. Nobody is immune. Everybody is tempted. Principle two, Satan strikes at predictable times when we are most susceptible. We let our guard down, what happens? Satan's in, right? I can tell you, since I started this, going through this Satanology thing, Satan has been attacking and attacking and attacking and attacking and attacking, and it's like, I can't wait till he's cast forever into the lake of fire. I'm just so tired of him right now. But he's going to strike at predictable times. After our mountaintop experiences, Jesus had just been baptized. He'd been publicly announced as the Messiah by John and our Father, our Heavenly Father. The devil strikes when we are glad and therefore not expecting or preparing for an attack. And we've had that mountaintop experience, right? Ooh, we are invincible. Be careful, because Satan's going to attack. Then during our valleys, Jesus just fasted for 40 days. The devil strikes when we are sad, mad, or in need, struggling with powerful desires in weakness, or more tempted to be dominated by our emotions. Be careful when you're in their valleys, too. Satan's right there, ready to pounce. And then before our service, Jesus was about to begin his public ministry. And here, the old serpent wants to disqualify you from serving God and reaching others. We have so many people that, you know, they're getting ready to prepare for some great thing that God's called them to do, and Satan's right there. Because he wants to destroy what God's trying to build up. We need to be on guard. Principle 3, we can prepare for temptation. Jesus was filled with the Spirit and had his heart filled with memorized scripture before he faced temptation. Now people say, well, he is the Word, so it'd be a little difficult for him not to have it memorized, right? But you don't know how hard it is to memorize scripture. It takes some work. It takes some work. Our last church we were at, they would memorize entire chapters. And you'd have to recite them. Those who wanted to would have to recite them in front of the church. Well, stand up and, I mean, they didn't have to come to the front, but they'd just stand up and they'd recite them. And I was learning them by verse number. So if I ever wanted to separate one out, I could do that without, and pretty soon I got, okay, which verse am I on now? Was that number 4 or was that number 6? And they'd go, what? Because they were thinking people are just going through them and not, and I don't know why, my brain just worked that way. I just wanted to be able to separate those out and know which verse was which. It takes dedication. And it takes time. And you have to figure out a plan on how you could do that. I would write them out, because if I typed them, it's not as easy to remember them. But if I hand wrote them, which pretty soon you can't read them, I keep writing them over and over and over. Pretty soon it kind of, and then I would stick them up in the mirror in the bathroom and I'd read through them every morning. And it's just something that I did. So I could learn some of those. I'd like to say I know more than I do, but I don't. It'd be nice if I could say I memorized a whole lot more. I took several classes that part of it was memorizing scripture, and then we'd have to recite them to our partner and stuff and in the class and just different stuff. So you can plan to memorize scripture if you want to, and it can happen if you want to stick with it. And then principle 4, Satan begins with doubt. Look at verse 3 of our text. It says, and when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God. If. Now wait a minute. He is the Son of God. He didn't say, because you're the Son of God. He just said, if you are the Son of God. And then in Genesis 3:4, the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die, right? We've looked at that several times through this. Ye shall not surely die. He's beginning with doubt, placing doubt, trying to get people to question God. It's never a good idea to question God. He's always right. You know, so I always thought what it must have been like growing up with Jesus as the sibling, right? He's never wrong. He never does anything wrong. It's like, you know, can you imagine the siblings saying, Jesus did it, and the parents are going, yeah, right. You need a better lie than that, because that one's not going to fly. And then principle number 5, Satan attacks with pride. Pride's what led to his fall. Pride is what we have difficulty with in the human realm. Pride is not a good thing, and God says it's one of the things he hates. So we need to be careful with pride. And then Satan tempts us to act independently from God. All those times when we go out there and we think, you know, this is really not that difficult. I don't really think I need to take this to God and find out what he thinks. I can just do this one on my own. That's thinking independently of God. That's acting independently of God. Tell people all the time. Even the small things. We read that in the letter from the Tylers, right? He's even beginning to take the little things to God. We need to learn to do that. There is nothing sinful in Christ performing a miracle or supernaturally making bread, right? There's nothing sinful about that. The issue is when it happens that we do things outside of including God in it. So it might not be sinful, but we're acting outside and independently from God. People say, well, what's wrong with if I just go do my own thing? I would suggest, as even the Tyler's boy is learning, we take everything to God in prayer and let him direct. Let him let us know what we need to do. There's no commandment against Jesus making bread. There's no commandment against that whatsoever. In fact, later on he did that, didn't he? And then even that which may be right to do can be wrong to do when it's not God's will. When we're leaving God out of the mix, even what might seem right can be wrong. The right thing might be done by the wrong person at the wrong time in the wrong way or with the wrong motives. People do a lot of great things, but they do it with the wrong motive. Principle 7, Satan tempts us to seek satisfaction in the realm of the physical rather than the spiritual. We get our eyes off God, we start getting our eyes on the physical, and we're, whoa, these things aren't so bad. And then we start going away from what God would have us to do. Principle 8, Satan tempts us to believe we should only be loyal to God if God gives us what we want. Now, I hear that a lot. You know, I was in church and I was serving God, but God didn't give me what I wanted. Well, at least you didn't say he didn't give you what you deserve. Nowhere in Scripture does it say that God has to give us what we want. It does tell us he'll provide for our needs. But it nowhere tells us that he has to give us what we want. And our attitude shouldn't be that, God, I'm going to serve you, I'm going to be loyal to you, but only if you give me what I want. I'm going to suggest that that's probably not going to work. God's not going to be manipulated into giving you what you want. Now, I might add that sometimes God gives us what we want to prove to us that we didn't want it in the first place. That's why I say from time to time, be careful what you ask for. Make sure it's really, really what God wants for you to have and not what you want for you to have. Jesus used memorized scripture as his defense. He went back to Satan and said, it is written, right? Over and over, it is written, it is written, it is written. He went back to scripture and said, so we have that for our defense. Just quote scripture to him. Principle 10, victory comes when we shift our focus from earthly desire to spiritual ones. Jesus shows us that in order to defeat the lust of the flesh, we must conquer the dominion of our fleshly desires in our life, living by bread, by the domination of spiritual desires, living by every word of God. Whatever we feed is what's going to dominate, right?
feed the flesh or feed the spirit. Whichever one you feed is the one that's going to dominate. And principle 11, victory comes when we study to live by every word of God. Now, it helps if we're studying, right? So we know what it says. And then victory comes when we not only learn, but we also live by the word of God. I've said over and over and over, it'd be great if everybody came to know Christ as Savior, and then I followed up and lived according to the word of God. See, because a lot of people get saved, or at least they profess to be saved, and they don't live anything like the word of God says. Have some that have sold out for God, got saved, served God, all of a sudden turned their back. And I'm not sure you would even know that they know God by the way they're acting, by the things they're doing and things they're saying, the things they're involved in. We need to learn to live by the word of God and continue to stay faithful. Second temptation, to descend from the pinnacle of the temple. Look at verses 5 through 7 of Matthew. It says, then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus saith unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. We've got to be careful. We've got to be careful. That's also over in Luke 4, 9 through 12. We've got to be careful that we don't tempt God. And then principle 13, our enemy is persistent. He doesn't give up, does he? He just keeps coming at us and coming at us and coming at us. And then principle 14, Satan uses the same exact things, same methods over and over and over. It's like when we see, it's like he used that last time on us and we fell for it. We should learn from that, right? In all actuality, we shouldn't have fallen for it the first time. But let's just say he uses the same methods and yet we fall for it over and over and over. And then number 15, Satan appeals to our desire to be accepted. This is a hard one because people, they don't want people to not like them, right? We want everybody to like us. We want everybody to agree with us. We want everybody to be our buddy and our friend, right? The problem is that because we want to be accepted so much, we have a tendency not to take a stand for the Word of God, even in crowds when God's name is being blasphemed. People are telling what they call off-color jokes. I didn't know jokes had colors, but they tell things that you don't want to hear. Even when people are dragging our Savior through the mud, so to speak, and people will stand there and not say anything because they want to be accepted. They want to be liked. And Satan appeals to that because he knows we want to. And, you know, sometimes we have to just say, you know, if people don't like me, that's not my problem. They're either going to get over it or they're not. It's all you can do. And then number 16, Satan tempts to have us follow paths that avoid all suffering or unhappiness. Christians, many, not all, but many, today have adopted a false philosophy that states, since God loves me, then God wants me to be happy. Therefore, anything that makes me unhappy is not God's will. And anything that makes me happy is God's will. Let me just say again, that's wrong thinking. That's not found in the Word of God. This type of philosophy can have tragic consequences. When people do things such as justify their affairs because, well, it makes me happy, so it's got to be God's will, right? Wrong. Or justify breaking their marriage vows and abandoning their mates and children because they are unhappy. Well, I'm unhappy, so I must need to leave, and that must be God's will. No, it's not the way that works. Number 17, Satan tempts us to substitute sensationalism for true spirituality. And principle 18, Satan tempts us to use shortcuts to God's plan. Let's just, I know, God, this is the plan and we're supposed to stick with this, but maybe if we just circumvent half of that, cut to the chase, right? No, God has a way of doing things. And he wants them done his way. Principle 19, Satan tempts us to compromise God's perfect standards. I've heard so many times, sometimes you just need to compromise. It's not what the Word of God tells us. But, you know, sometimes you just got to not be so stringent in your beliefs. That's not what God's Word tells us. Number 20, Satan often strikes in areas of our strengths and therefore potential overconfidence and lack of dependence upon God. Over and over and over, we get so dependent on ourselves that we just don't think we need God. The fact of the matter is we do need God. And we need to know that we need God. Principle 21, Jesus conquered Satan with the truth that true faith does not need to test God in order to believe. We don't need to test him. If you believe, you believe, right? Believe regardless of being tested or not. I mean, I have to tell you, my faith was not tested, so to speak, when I came to trust Christ as Savior. I just knew I had to get saved. I didn't know the ins and outs about it. I just knew I didn't want to go to hell, and I knew that's where I was headed. And I was like terrified that if one more moment lapsed, I might not make it to heaven. I might be in hell. And so when that finally, you know, penetrated the thick skull through way of my heart, I said, Mom, I need to get saved. She said, well, I need to call the pastor. And he said, come on over. So we went over and I sat at his dining room table and he led me to the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Principle 22, Satan tempts with the pride of life. Definitely. The third temptation, to worship Satan in order to receive all the kingdoms of the world. Look at verses 8 through 11. Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Yeah, left him there. In Luke chapter 4, verses 5 through 8, and then again 13 is that account of that same. And principle 23, Satan tempts with the lust of the eyes. We defeat this by a heart and eyes so focused on worship and Christ that the world holds no appeal. Yeah. It's so easy because the lust of the eyes, right? There's so many things out there that are so shiny and appealing. It just is so easy. But we need to just keep focused on Christ. These things of this world won't be so appealing. Principle 24, Satan tempts us to believe that he can give us all that we desire, but that God will not. Well, God just won't let us have any fun, right? I've heard that my entire time of growing up and being a part of Baptist churches and all, you people can't have any fun. Why can't we? I don't know about you, but I have all kinds of fun. We're going to have fun on Saturday. I'm going to have all kinds of fun. We can have fun. We just choose to do it not the way the world does it. Principle 25, whenever we give in to sin, we worship Satan. It's a fact. And principle 26, Satan never gives up, and therefore temptation, this is going to be hard for some, never ends. As long as we're in this world, this temptation thing is never going to end. Boy, isn't that something to look forward to. Temptation is going to continue to be out there. Satan's going to continue to use it against us. And he makes it very appealing, doesn't he? Said many times when I'm talking about Satan, he doesn't appear in that, red suit with the pointy ears and the horns and the pitchfork and the tail. And all. That's not how he appears. He appears in all the beauty, right? We go, wow, wouldn't it be great to have that? Not if it hinders your walk with God. I'm not saying everything we have is bad. I was accused of that once. You said that we couldn't have anything. No, I never said we couldn't have anything. I said when the things that we desire come between us and our God, we shouldn't have them. Right? Anything that comes between us and God needs to go. So therefore, if what you desire is going to be put in the place of God in your life, you don't need it. Some people can have things. I know people that are very, very staunch believers in Christ and all, and God has allowed them to have great things. They have nice boats and cars and houses and all, but none of that comes between them and God. They said, when the boat keeps me on the lake and out of church, the boat goes. If the cars are more important to me than my God, the cars need to go. When this house becomes the main focus of my life, it needs to go. And that's, people can do that because people have the ability to say, these things are not going to control my life, God is. But others, they don't have that strong of faith. And as soon as they get all these things, look at what I've done, right? Like Nebuchadnezzar, look at what I've accomplished. Look at me. And they forget about God. And then those things become a huge, huge hindrance in their life. All right. We're going to go on to prayer requests.